The Gateway brings you the day's news from the St. Louis region and across Missouri. It also includes stories from the Illinois side of the river and our Metro East reporter, Will Bauer.
In Alton, in Belleville, in East St. Louis, in Edwardsville, in Cahokia Heights, at Scott Air Force Base, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Listen to reports from Will and all of our journalists weekdays on The Gateway, on the STLPR app, and wherever you get podcasts.
We have volunteers who their job is that if there is anyone who feels hesitant or scared walking from the building to their car, we have a safety team who will escort them from their car to the event and back out.
That's Alex Johnmeyer. And the safety team they're talking about is for what may seem like a very unlikely event, an art show. I'm Nancy Fowler, and this is Cut and Paste, St. Louis Public Radio's Arts and Culture podcast. On Saturday, St. Louis's Metro Trans Umbrella Group will host its fifth annual art exhibition called Transcending the Spectrum. MTUG, as the group calls itself for short, has grown and become more visible over the past 5 years. And so has the art show. In fact, this year, there are 35 visual artists and 25 stage performers. These acts include headliner Denier, a rap and hip-hop artist who's a transgender man of color. He's a favorite of Johnmeyer, a visual artist who curates the show. Johnmeyer identifies as transmasculine, which comes under the transgender umbrella. Also joining us was artist Eric Schoolcraft, who is a gay cisgender man. Cisgender means that you identify as the gender you were assigned at birth. Now, they both emphasize that, yes, in many ways, things are getting better for transgender people. But there's a push and pull between being known and being safe. In 2017, nearly 30 transgender people, mainly transgender women of color, were killed violently across the United States. We hear from Johnmeyer first about one artist in the show who works to make LGBTQ people distinctly visible.
So one of my favorite artists, I'm a really big fan of hers. Her name is Kimberly N. She's a local photographer. She specifically for the MTUG art show took photography of nude, trans, and queer bodies. And they're just black and white images, and they're so simple but so beautiful.
What is it about portraying the bodies, you know, especially queer and trans bodies, that is important?
We exist. You know, I don't know. I grew up in a very cis-het, heterosexual, very Republican. I grew up in a conservative environment and didn't even meet other gay people until I was 18 and didn't meet other transgender or genderqueer people.
Well, that's the thing, is you didn't know if you had met them because they couldn't be themselves.
That's true.
So
that's true. Maybe, yeah.
I think it's interesting to talk to people who say, you know, I never met anybody of this.
I didn't know I met.
Right, right. I was like, well, of course you did.
Yeah.
So, Alex, how did that change for you? When did you...
My brain exploded. No, it's like the sky opened up and I could, you know, and the birds were singing and I met someone. I met a transgender person before, and I met this person and I looked him in the eyes and I didn't have the words. I didn't know the words transgender, but I looked at him and I knew he wasn't a she. I knew he wasn't a lesbian. And I said, I'm sorry, you used to be a woman? And he's like, and he was horrified. And he's like, oh my God, how did you know? And please don't tell anyone. And that, I was like, oh my gosh, there's someone else like me. I grew up my entire childhood wishing I were a boy. And at age 9, I don't identify with this name I was given at birth. I wish my name were Alex. And it wasn't obviously until much, much later that I was like, you know what, I'm making that real. And I legally changed my name. And then with the birth of MTUG, being surrounded by all kinds of people, you know, trans women, trans men, gender, queer, intersex, just all the different possibilities of expression and identity was beautiful. Life-changing for me, honestly.
So,
no, I'm just like, it's a little overwhelming at times to think about, like, how once upon a time we all met, you know, trans people met in secret and in the backs of gay bars. And, you know, even just walking from the gay bar to your car, you were scared for your life. And there are trans people who are still scared for their life.
Crime and violence against trans people is pretty prevalent still. And that's why I think this show is so important. It, you know, brings it into a view of a more mainstream crowd. Mm-hmm. And the more that that's possible, the more that people are accepting that, oh, these are people.
And we do have a safety team for anyone that is concerned.
A safety team. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we have volunteers who their job is that if there is anyone who feels hesitant or scared walking from the building to their car, we have a safety team who will escort them from their car to the event and back out.
Wow. Just to think of the fact that something called a safety team
needs to exist
today, right? I mean, what does that say about where we are?
We take care of our own.
Well, it's important. The murder rate for trans people is staggering.
Especially for trans women of color. It breaks my heart. But, you know, we're working on it.
You know, I shouldn't be, but every time I see another headline, I'm just shocked and surprised that in this day and age, it's still, you know, a caveman mentality about it.
So, Eric, how did you get involved and when in the MTUG art show?
Last year, Alex approached me as a participant, and it was my first experience with them. I have a father who's passed away now, but he also was trans, and was my Aunt Jamie, quote unquote. So I've had, you know, exposure to the culture for, you know, many, many years, longer than Alex has been alive. So
that's not true. He's not that much older than me.
So tell me what that was like to have a transgender parent. How you came to know that and how that sort of came to play out in your own life.
Well, you know, I knew I was a gay man from, you know, a pretty young age, so I was pretty open to the ramifications of it in my life, even though most of my family was not.
Because from what you're saying, this was how many years ago?
Oh, 30 years ago.
Okay, so we're talking about a time when people might not even know the word transgender.
Right, right. There was, you know, any reference that you heard to it was lacking any kind of positivity usually. So, but it was an interesting group of people that he hung around with, and I learned a lot from a lot of those people. And they at the time were all super fringe society. So it was a unique learning experience for me as a kid.
Yeah, yeah. So your parent was a transgender woman?
Yes.
Okay.
Male to female. And although he didn't live full time that way, he hung out in groups that gave him an outlet to do that. So you know, he had a regular job with the post office as a carrier and presented himself as a masculine man most of the time. But on weekends when he could hang out with his friends and cut loose, she was a pretty amazing woman.
Yeah. What do you think it would have meant to your parent to have a group like MTUG and to have the kind of, I know it's not enough, but the kind of visibility at least that we have today?
Well, he was one of the first administrators of St. Louis Gender Foundation. And so
it's okay to apply.
He had a pretty yes. magnificent support group that he helped to create.
Yeah. Okay.
So
when I was first figuring out if I was trans or genderqueer, I didn't even know those words yet. And the St. Louis Gender Foundation was the first place that I called. And like, so they actually like helped, they saved me. And I'm sure a lot of people in St. Louis who yeah. were struggling.
Yeah. A lot of those people came to that group with some serious baggage and needed some support. And I know they did a lot of great things for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. So,
how did you? And I don't want to make it sound like, oh, this is this big mysterious thing, and you had to find out, like, you know. But I'm, you know, especially 30 years ago, and there must have been a time when your parents sat down and said, "Hey, there's something I want you to know."
Actually, I think I got invited to an event.
Okay.
You know, Dad, Aunt Jamie had every other weekend visitation. So my brothers, you know, they all thought this was kind of fringe. And so one of the weekends when I was there by myself, you know, my dad and his partner knew of my own proclivities and knew that I'd be fine with it. So it was really a non-issue.
So Eric, tell me about your work.
I call it Sharpies on Trash.
Sharpies on Trash.
Largely, it is, it's, you know, scraps of things that will soon end up in a landfill. And
What kind of things?
Everything from plastic shopping bags to, you know, I do a lot of thrift store plates. And
I just love them.
Even some framed needlepoint or something, I'll just draw right over the glass. Plastic shopping bags, just for an example. I did a portrait of Alex not long ago. That's one of the pieces that's going to go into the show.
Okay, so this looks like it's a portrait of Alex over some text from Tom Sawyer.
It's on a Barnes & Noble plastic retail shopping bag that, you know, would end up in a landfill for 200 years.
Right.
And I figure if I can add a little bit of pretty to it and somebody likes it well enough to put it on their wall, then I did a little bit of good. The reaction to it is sometimes it's a little avant-garde for some people.
You nearly sold out at your solo show at Concrete Ocean.
Well, I did pretty well, actually.
You did really well at that show.
Considering that
there were red dots everywhere.
Considering that it was largely junk and trash.
Stop.
And things that, you know, were all cast-offs.
I love your work. Obviously. I love it.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So did you create work specifically for this show as
well? I did,
well?
As
and
a
in what
of
way
fact.
Is the work that was created for this show sort of referencing LGBTQIA life or themes?
Well, locally, Alex is a pretty large personality in this crowd.
Oh, stop.
So the fact that I got an opportunity to draw her.
Them.
Excuse me. Everybody works on those pronouns.
I know.
On a regular basis.
I'm my own my own advocate.
I totally appreciate you reminding me. Thank you.
So effort counts.
Mm-hmm. That's all I ask for is that people try.
So I was really glad to represent Alex. I think everybody knows Alex, and I hope somebody really wants that piece.
I'm buying it if nobody does.
That was Alex John Meyer and Eric Schoolcraft talking about the Metro Trans Umbrella Group art show called Transcending the Spectrum. I'm Nancy Fowler, and this is Cut and Paste, St. Louis Public Radio's arts and culture podcast, produced with help from my editor, David Casares. The music you heard during the podcast is by local musicians Denier and also Eric Hall. You can find Cut and Paste at stlpublicradio.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cut and Paste is sponsored by Gemma, architects, planners, and designers.
If you have a smart speaker, you have access to the entire world of NPR and St. Louis Public Radio. All the latest news and all the captivating stories. Activate our voices with yours by telling your smart speaker to play St. Louis Public Radio.